The Holy Gospel for this day is a reading from St. Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 35th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
It's the request of James and John. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Please be seated. We are called to be servants, and we remember God's strength as he gives us power, as he calls us, he sends us, and sustains us. ELCA pastor Amy Royman tells of the shortest sermon that she knows about, and she's referring to her grandfather. As he told the story of the Good Samaritan, and he read the account of an outsider who demonstrates true neighborly love to this foreigner, and that compassion was in stark contrast to the religious types who passed by on the other side. After reading it, the grandfather climbed the pulpit and he said, "We all know what this means, just go and do it," and sat down. We really do know what he means. Love God by serving your neighbor. It's that clear and that simple. But that was a hard lesson for James and John, and probably for the other disciples and a lot of the people in that day who had the wrong idea about Jesus' mission. The brothers came up to Jesus and they want special recognition, and Jesus has to correct them. We are used to the disciples being bumblers, always kind of two steps behind their Lord, slow to understand his words or mission. Their request to sit in places of honor really flies in the face of everything Jesus modeled and taught about servant leadership. For in this text, we have another incident. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Another one of the disciples not understanding Jesus' teaching. Earlier, they had argued who was the greatest, and this time it was James and John, wanting to have power and high status. Again, Jesus turns it into a teaching moment, a rerouting of values and standards, and it centers around the cross. I think there are at least three points to be made in this story. First, it tells us something about the gospel writer Mark. Actually, Matthew, some 25 years later, tells of the same story, but he refers not to the request of the sons, but to the request of their mother, Salome. Apparently, he wanted to save the reputations of his son. Interesting sidelight. Well, it shows the honesty of Mark in simply reporting what had occurred. Secondly, the story tells us about James and John, how ambitious they were, wanting to be a part of Jesus' victory and becoming his ministers of state. It shows that they had failed to understand Jesus. Their request comes right after Jesus' most detailed forecast of his death, and they apparently did not hear him. Thirdly, the story tells us about Jesus' standard of greatness. The standard was that of service. His service role reflected his own understanding of himself and his mission. That theme is illustrated in the Apostle Paul's hymn in the Philippians that starts, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." The cross stands as a call to a new form of life where all are called to be servants. That's the new standard. In addition to the servant motif, which was dominant in the Gospel of Mark, there also was the death motif that is in the background of his entire gospel. It is a constant, unbroken refrain. Jesus is described as being engaged in a titanic struggle with superhuman powers or evil, characterized by demon possession, evil spirits, the sea, and the storm. And death is the last enemy to be defeated. Jesus' coming denotes a radical change in the balance of power in the world. Because of the cross, humankind becomes reconciled to God, and we are set free from being captive to the world's systems. The Gospel of Mark has been called the Passion Story with a rather lengthy introduction. That is because Jesus again and again teaches and repeats what will happen to him, that he will suffer and die and be raised on the third day. But Mark does not paint a morbid picture. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, death will be defeated. His suffering, death, and rising is all about victory. Isaiah 53 provides the picture of the suffering servant and a powerful image of salvation, redemption, and healing. In verse 4 in chapter 53, we are said to be made healed and whole through the servant's suffering. Now, in a society today that values achievement, rewards, ambition, and elevates strivers, we can become confused like James or John and the disciples and the people of his day about the real rewards of serving. Jesus turns their impossible request into a teachable moment with his own short sermon. Whoever wishes to become great must be a servant. He contrasts the way of service to the way of the powerful of his day and ours and presents an alternative to rulers who lord it over weaker people. And so, who will you serve? That question runs against our grain as a culture, with its emphasis on individual freedom, self-determination, autonomy, and recognition. The illusion is that we can live independent of loyalty, devotion, and service. In the book by David Brooks entitled The Road to Character, he refers to a UCLA survey in 1966 in which 80% of the freshman class said they were strongly motivated.